Good morning and welcome. On the fourth Sunday of October, we traditionally offer thanksgiving for the blessings of harvest in Mara Hamlet Parish Church. This we will be doing in church later. Meanwhile, we are delighted that you are joining this online celebration of the Holy Communion as a service of thanksgiving for harvest. We are particularly delighted to have as our visiting preacher the Reverend Bruce Hayes, Rector of Dalkey in the Diocese of Dublin. It might surprise you that Bruce is no stranger to this group of parishes. Quite some years ago now, prior to training for ordination, Bruce spent a weekend here. And on the Saturday of that weekend, he joined us on the Mother's Union annual outing, and next day attended worship in both churches. It is lovely to welcome Bruce back, and we look forward to his ministry of the word later. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The processional hymn, Come, Ye Thankful People, Come.
Come, ye thankful people, come, praise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in, ere the winter storms begin. God our Maker doth provide for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come, praise the song of harvest home. All the world is risen heal, truth unto his priest to yield, weed and tares together soon.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says: You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it: You shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy on us, and activate your laws in our hearts.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thanks for the harvest of the earth, which provides food to maintain life, both in body and spirit. Eternal God, you crown the year with your goodness, and you give us the fruits of the earth in their season. Grant that we may use them to your glory, for the relief of those in need, and for our own well-being, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Ruth, chapter 2, beginning at verse 2. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain behind someone in whose sight I may find favour." She said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she went. She came and gleaned in the field behind the reapers. As it happened, she came to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Just then Boaz came from Bethlehem. He said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." They answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, "To whom does this young woman belong?" The servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the Moabite who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the reapers.' So she came, and she has been on her feet from early this morning until now, without resting even for a moment." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Keep your eyes in the field that is being reaped and follow behind them. I have ordered the young men not to bother you. If you get thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." Then she fell prostrate with her face to the ground and said to him, "Why have I found favour in your sight that you should take notice of me when I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. May the Lord reward you for your deeds, and may you have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Then she said, "May I continue to find favour in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, even though I am not one of your servants." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Canticle Benedicite Omnia Opera.
The epistle is from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gradual hymn, Praise and Thanksgiving, Father, we offer.
The Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. Luke, chapter 12, beginning at verse 13.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Someone in the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. But he said to him, Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you? And he said to them, Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the quiet of the hills, in the heaving of the sea, you speak, O Lord. In the words of the prophets, in the voices of the apostles, you speak, O Lord. Now we pray, speak in this place, in the calming of our hearts and the quiet of our minds. Speak, O Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. I would like to begin by saying thank you to your rector for the invitation to join you here today for your Harvest Thanksgiving. It has been many years since I last visited the parish, and it is a great pleasure to be back with you again after an absence of over 20 years. On my last visit, I was a young student who was considering entering the theological college, and I wanted to see what a parish north of the border was like. It was a very positive visit, and I was well looked after by your rector. I duly went to theological college and went on to serve 3 years in a Belfast parish called Craiga. When I arrived there, the back garden was totally overgrown, although one could glimpse a few raspberries that had crept under the fence from the next door garden. I set about trying to reclaim the garden and managed to establish a small vegetable patch. I must have mentioned it one day to one of the parishioners, because very quickly I had seedlings of many different kinds to be put into my vegetable patch. Too many really for the small space I had managed to clear. But I was very thankful for everyone's generosity. The only downside was I had to give regular updates through the growing season and remember who had given what, so I wouldn't say to the wrong person, "Your carrots are going very well," when in fact they'd given me leeks. After 3 years, I went down to Aberystruy Union in West Cork to experience something quite different in parish terms. Moving from a city parish without a single farmer to a parish full of them. And I suppose I really learnt in West Cork what harvest meant to people. Although nowadays, wherever possible, things are mechanised, people's memories went back to earlier times, and something that was always talked about was the threshing. A time when the harvest was brought in. People told stories of harvests past, how neighbours would help each other, how huge meals would be shared in farmhouses and all the workers would be fed, and how the next day you would start the whole process again at someone else's farm, as you helped them bring in the harvest there too. A great time of community and fellowship. Nowadays, a contractor arrives into the yard and everything is done so quickly, without any of the same level of cooperation and help. With progress, something important has been lost. The Old Testament lesson this morning spoke of a harvest at an altogether earlier time, a time when the harvest would have been all done by hand, maybe with the help of a donkey or oxen. And around the edge of the field being harvested would be gathered the people from the margins of society, the least, the littlest, and the lost. Those people were allowed to go into the field after the harvest had been taken and pick up what was left over. They gleaned what was left over to try and get enough so that they could survive in a harsh and difficult world. At one point, the owner of the field, a man called Boaz, notices a particular woman working in the field. I suppose there may have been something of an attraction, for he asks someone who she is, and he is told she is the widowed Moabite woman, daughter-in-law of Naomi. Ruth says to him at this point, "Please let me gather among the sheaves behind the reapers." Boaz takes this all in and says to his men, "Make sure you leave a few stalks standing for her. Make it easier for her to gather enough, and give her water so she is not thirsty." The story is a very interesting one. A love story, you could say. A story of the harvest. A story of generosity, of sharing, of thankfulness. The Gospel tells a story of a harvest from another perspective, an undoubtedly good harvest, one so good, in fact, that the farmer is thinking of building bigger barns that he can store all that he has. But what he doesn't realise is that very night his life is going to be demanded of him. And it no longer will matter in the slightest how many barns he has. Henry Nouwen said that the goal of the human journey is to be able at the end to say not please, but thank you. Not I want, but I am grateful. That is part of our harvest journey. It should also be part of our life journey. If tonight you were to be called home, which of those words, please or thank you, would best sum up your life? As I have reflected during the past week about Nouwen's words, I have been aware time and again what a long journey it is for most of us to move from please to thank you. As infants, we survive only because we act on our needs and desires. They are instinctive and necessary. And parents have such a hard job trying to teach their children to say thank you. It begins as a constantly repeated lesson in good manners. When someone does something for you, parents will tell a child to say thank you. I cannot tell you how many times the following exchange has played out in the rectory with one variation or another. One of my boys will say to me, "Pass the ketchup, Dad." And I say, "What is the magic word?" "Pass the ketchup, please," they say. And I slide the ketchup down the table towards them. And they put it on their food. And I look at them and I say, "What do you say now? Where's the thanks?" Or if they're going out to a birthday party, you call out as they leave, "Don't forget to say thank you when you come home, before you come home." Please was probably the most common word most of us used when addressing our parents growing up. The time comes, though, to say thank you. And saying that and living it often isn't easy. It doesn't come naturally. Some of us are much better at please than thank you, and never seem to have gotten the hang of gratitude and generosity. I have even heard it suggested that there are two categories of people in the world: the givers, who give back to life, and the takers, who seem only interested in what they can get for themselves from any situation. It's usually not very hard to guess who is which. The farmer in our Old Testament lesson, Boaz, seems to be a giver. The man in the New Testament story seems to be more interested in taking all that he can. Our churches and our communities would shrivel without the givers. But it is the temptation, especially of our age, to be takers. And in fact, many are saying that the lessons of generosity of the older generations are not being replicated by a younger generation. Whether that is true or not, I will let you decide. When we actually look closely at our lives, we can see very quickly that we are receivers at every stage. There are countless teachers, coaches, uncles, grandmothers, doctors, and clergy whose names we have in many cases lost, but who have, in ways so small as to be almost unnoticed, and so large as to have changed our lives, brought us to this moment. And what did we do to provide ourselves with the sun and the earth, with the sea and the skies and the stars, with the talents and family support, with a rich and prosperous country in which to live, with the unpredictable lucky breaks and gestures of kindness that have enriched our lives? How is it that people can sometimes sit so contentedly with their achievements and acquisitions and say, "All this is mine. I did it. Now please, I would like a little more. I must build some bigger barns." Winston Churchill once encountered a proud man who wanted none of the Prime Minister's call to social responsibility. "Let me be clear," the man said. "I am very independent. I am a self-made man. I believe in doing it all yourself." "Well," Churchill replied, "that certainly relieves your creator of a great deal of responsibility." Of course, this church would not exist had not you and people before you become grateful givers. Gratitude and generosity are the lifeblood of every parish. They get expressed in many forms: dedication, hard work, skills of many kinds, imagination, creativity. They manifest themselves in beautifully arranged flowers, in visitors warmly welcomed, in a vestry that ensures the strength of your institutional life, in volunteers who assist in worship, music, fundraising, in Sunday school, and much more. As you well know, the last 18 months have been one of the most difficult in the church's history. A painful time of closed buildings and activities curtailed. Weathering the COVID storm has demanded the best from all of us. I am not sure if your rector has said it to you or not, but I'm sure he thinks about it regularly, as I do in my parish. But I am so thankful for the many ways that you and people like you across the country have been able to ensure that parishes remain strong in these challenging times. You know there is something good about hard, demanding times. They really help us to see what matters, what is most important, what we are most grateful for. This hard time in our society is demanding that we keep our focus on what is important. And I believe that among the things that matter most is a church planted at the heart of a community, pointing people to the God who called this earth and you and me into being. It's a long journey from please to thank you. I give thanks to God that so many of you have made that journey and are committed to this parish's ministry. May we continue to work and pray and bring in the harvest together and to sustain the work of this parish in these challenging yet grace-filled times. Amen.
We believe in one God. The Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven.
Was born by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man.
For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Head.
Let us pray. O Almighty God, Lord of the harvest, you promised through your Son to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, from you comes each good gift of life. As you have blessed the Church with abundant grace, keep her faithful in the offering of word and sacrament. We pray for this diocese and for David, our bishop. We give thanks for your faithfulness through the difficulties of COVID and offer ourselves in this group of parishes to your service. We ask that by the Spirit at work within us, others may receive a rich harvest of love and joy and peace. We pray for all who are still nervous about returning to in-church worship. We pray today for the parish of Killyleagh, including the rector, the Reverend Colin Darling. As we celebrate harvest, we pray for a thankful heart amongst our members and an awareness of God's blessings. May we never take these or him for granted. Lord of all creation,
hear our prayer.
Lord of creation, at this harvest time, we thank you for the world we see around us, for the flowers, the trees, and the animals. Bless all those who care for them. Help us to protect your creation by being careful about how we use your resources. We thank you that you call us to play our part. May we work with you and with others to address the issues about climate change. Bless Elizabeth, our Queen, and others in positions of responsibility. The Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, the Secretary of State, Brandon Lewis, and the government. The First Minister, Paul Given, Deputy First Minister Michelle O'Neill, and the Executive. Also President Michael D. Higgins, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin, Tánaiste de Leo Varadkar, and the government in the Republic. Sovereign, wise and gracious God, we acknowledge before you our failures, our divisions, and the hurt we have caused you and one another. And as we reflect upon the events of partition and formation 100 years ago, we bring to mind what happened then and in the years since. We acknowledge before you our different and often polarized interpretations of history. As we travel onwards in our journey, may we learn from the experiences of the past and from those who trod these roads before us, so that the inheritance we pass on to the next generation is the gift of understanding, peace, and hope. Lord of all creation,
hear our prayer.
Lord of our relationships, we ask your blessing on our families, friends and neighbours, and pray for all who are facing unemployment, ill health, isolation or financial worries at this challenging time. Help us to recognise the interdependence of all life and the importance of just relations and responsible stewardship of all you continue to give us. As we thank you for those who are serving and caring for others in churches, in charities, in the national health and other public services, in our neighbourhoods, in our home, in food banks and in many other contexts, give them strength, rest, and perseverance. As they work to support others, we ask that they too would receive all they need to thrive. As we give thanks for all who bring in the harvest of the land and of the sea, and for all who grow, manufacture, transport and distribute our food, we ask for your grace and patience with us when we fail to look after your world as we should. Help us to change so that we too may become a new creation, walking in the light of your gospel. Lord of all creation,
hear our prayer.
Lord of all healing, though you have given the human race a rich land, a land of streams and springs, wheat and barley, vines and oils and honey, by sin we have made it a world of suffering and sorrow. We pray for the suffering we are meeting in our society during this global emergency. Those who have lost loved ones, become ill or lost jobs and businesses, families who are struggling to make ends meet. Forgive the injustices and inequalities by which communities and individuals have been burdened for years, which have been made evident by the pandemic. May all who are ill or are recovering from illness or who are experiencing poverty receive the support they need and be able to find positive pathways forward. Be with those who have great need, both in the world's areas of famine or natural disaster, and where growers, suppliers and consumers are suffering hardship following poor harvest yields. Lord of all creation,
hear our prayer.
Lord of eternity, we give thanks for the departed who have been grouped into your care. Grant them the joy of faith brought to fruition in your heavenly kingdom.
Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercy. We are not worthy so much as to gather up our crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. The harvest of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
The hymn. Upon thy table, Lord, we place these symbols of our work and love.
Thank you.
Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right for us to give you thanks and praise. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the Word active in creation, who dwelling among us himself rejoiced in the beauty of the earth, giving thanks to you for the fruits of harvest and the fishes of the sea, and through his own work hallowing all human service. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image, male and female you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension. And we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, we are bold to sing.
into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever.
The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We in the name of the Father, we all share in the one bread.
Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Lord of the harvest, with joy we have offered thanksgiving for your love and creation, and shared in the bread and the wine of the kingdom. By your grace, plant within us a reverence for all that you give us, and make us generous and wise stewards of the good things we enjoy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Christ, who has nourished us with the bread of life, sow the seed of his word on your hearts, so that you may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit, and at last be gathered into his heavenly garner. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always. O Lord, our hearts we raise in hymns of adoration.
Blessed is that harvest song which never hath an ending. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
As this online service comes to a close, may I thank those who have given gifts of flowers and greenery and other gifts for the decoration of the church for this year's Harvest Festival. I know that those listening online will be able to visualize it in mind's eye. May I also thank our organist, Francis McGorian. The soloist today, Hayley Howe, who sang so beautifully and magnificently, and who was accompanied by her husband, Tim Howe. And last but not least, may I thank the readers today and our special preacher, the Reverend Bruce Hayes, for his most appropriate and thought-provoking sermon. This evening at 7 o'clock in church, there will be a service of Harvest Praise, that is, a service of hymns, anthems, and readings for harvest. Everyone is welcome to Mara Hamlet for that service. Sunday next, the fourth Sunday before Advent, there will be a service online from 10 a.m. in church. Next Sunday, the service is morning prayer and the litany at 10 o'clock in Annahilt, at 12 noon in Mara Hamlet. Thank you.